pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Final hour has arrived. We appreciate you being here. It's been a busy one. We had Coach Kelly from LSU on a couple of hours ago, giving us an update on a number of things. Graham Mertz from Florida. Time for calls. We begin final hour with Legend in Birmingham. Hello, Legend.
Woo! Alabama's back, baby.
Yes,
we
sir.
Back like a freight train. Back like Jesse James. They had us counted out, didn't they, Paul? They had us counted out. But they did. The dynasty's over well. As Paul Harvey said, now for the rest of the story. Yeah, baby. I love it, Paul. I love it. Back, baby. Back. I love it, baby. I love it. Wasn't you impressed, Saturday, Paul? You was impressed, wasn't
you? Yeah, I was. And it's always the right combination of just getting Alabama and Lane Kiffin together to make Alabama fans feel good.
You know, Laney said going into that game that Pete Golden was his secret weapon. What he didn't know is Pete Golden was our secret weapon, too.
Hey, as long as Pete Golden is calling the shots, that's good for the other side.
That's good for the other side. That's like Rex Grossman playing quarterback in a Super Bowl, man. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. But, Paul, I'd like to give you Legend's top five quick takes of the week, of this week in college football, if I could, right quick.
Lay it on me, brother.
Number five, Legend quick takes of the week, Ryan Day versus Lou Holtz. Give me Sweet Lou all the time. How pathetic to jump on an 86-year-old legend for a comment who in his prime at Notre Dame would have beat your wuss soft ass by 20 points on the football field. Maybe if you had that same passion, Ryan Day, when you played Michigan last year, you wouldn't have got your ass whooped. And by the way, maybe if you had that same passion the year before last, you wouldn't have got your ass whooped. And I can't wait for Michigan to whoop your no quarterback ass again, dude. You're a pathetic coach. I dislike you. Talking about Ohio State against the whole world, you're damn right. We don't want you in America. Take the whole state and get the hell out. Legendary take number four, Paul. Will the real Auburn Tigers please stand up? AJ, talk about respect. Talking about Paul ain't got no respect for us. Yeah, he got respect for you. It's called disrespect. Auburn, the Vandy of the West. What a mess. Oh, yeah, baby. It's a dumpster fire. You ain't going to win an SEC game. I told you, dude. And I told you the only time Robbie Osborne belongs on the field if he's bringing water to the other guy. Legendary take number three of the week. Perry Mason from Louisiana. Yeah, you called the legend out last week, didn't you, dude? Talk about legend can't pitch. He don't never pitch a game. Had your little ass buddy Jim come right behind you. Yeah, legend don't never pick a win. Well, in both of your faces, 3-0 right there, boy. 3-0 right there, punk. That's how you do it. Why don't you come on and talk about that now? You poked the monster, and I fist slapped you, and you ain't got nothing to say about it. Legendary take number two. The lame train has no brain. Yeah, what a call Nick Saban out. Talk about the castles are crumbling. It's over. Don't know if this will be the last time I'll get to play Nick again. I heard Feinbaum say something this morning I thought was fabulous, and I heard Paul say it, I agree with it. If Nick Saban was the year 2038, Nick Saban been retired 10 years, he could come out of retirement and still beat your ass, dude. You are pathetic, dude. That's why you'll never be Alabama's coach. We don't want your little tweeting ass down here in Alabama. We got enough of them little moronic tweeters with Jim running around. We don't need you down here, dude. Keep your mouth shut and stay in your place. The lane train done crashed off into the river, and that's where you belong, in a damn river, dude. legendary take number one. Yes, America, you thought Alabama was knocked out. You had us counted out. Out for the take. The referee was counting. One, two, three, four, five. It's a knockout. Six, seven, it's over. Eight, But he couldn't get nine out. Guess what, America? It wasn't a knockout. It was just a standing eight count. We back on the feet, baby. We jabbing. We throwing punches. You better watch out. The monster has awoken. And we ain't going to take no damn prisoners. You can bet your ass on that. Nick Saban, we riding, baby. And we ain't going to stop until we get to Atlanta. We see that little weak-ass Georgia, and we beat that ass. We are back, baby, like a freight train. Like Jesse James, legend has left the building.
Rack 'em. Wow, that was something. That's pretty amazing. Cat Daddy follows that.
Big Paul is looking good and sounding good, and legend, your impersonation of Ric Flair is getting old. Why don't you take your Alabama butt and go somewhere else? Because we're sick of it. You are one, and here's what I want to call you about. South Carolina's going to whoop Tennessee, but here's another thing. Clemson Tigers, Clemson.
Cat Daddy, hold on just a second. Do you realize how irrelevant Clemson is? They were losing a game years ago. I mean, we interrupted programming. We interrupted all my children. Now Clemson loses at home, and it takes 3 hours and 8 minutes to even be reminded of it. That's how bad that program is right now.
Clemson is a bunch of pussycats. They ain't got no offensive line. They ain't got no defense. Dabo, I've told you this before. Call Steve Spurrier and see if there's a home in Crescent Beach and move down there. Because I don't know how Clemson fans can put up with this stuff. But I'm going to tell you what, Mr. Feinbaum. South Carolina is going to whoop Clemson's butt again when they come to Columbia.
Right. I didn't think so weeks ago. Hey, has Clemson Tom strolled into the store yet?
I ain't seen a look at him yet. I ain't seen a thing. I ain't heard nothing.
Well, here, when he does walk in, Cat Daddy, I'm going to send you the money if you need it. Give him some fine wine so he can cry about the good old days when they were beating Alabama and Florida State and the Gamecocks and ruling the world.
Well, he ain't come in. I doubt I'll see much of him lately. But I'm going to tell you what. Your song that boy sang talked about all the surprises over the weekend. We had some surprises. But the Gamecocks are going to continue to win. We have got a great quarterback. We got a great coach. And you Clemson pussycat, I hope you suffer and die because your coach is crap. And your program is dying. But Feinbaum, James Brown has left the building. Huh? And I feel good.
Dabo's dynasty long done. It's not even a dynasty anymore. You can't say it's done because it doesn't qualify. Let's continue with Aubie up next. Aubiana, excuse me. Go right ahead.
How you doing there?
We're doing great.
This is my first time on the show. Listen, I just wanted to call in and say about that dude, legend. Okay, check this out. LSU took y'all out last year. Okay, so sit down and shut up. Okay, now we got that out the way. All right, that's out the way. Now, LSU took you out, you down. So shut up. All right, now here's the thing. Alabama this year sucks. Okay, we got that out the way too. Alabama sucks. Okay, bad. All right, check this out. Now, I've been living in Georgia for the past 16 years, and I had a Georgia fan living on the side of me and an Alabama fan living on the other side of me. And it's the same old thing. As soon as they win a game, their little preseason games, they think, oh, we got Heisman candidates, okay? No, you don't, all right? LSU is coming for you. Now, I'm at my friend's house. She lives in he's a Georgia fan. Well, he's not home yet, but his wife is. I've been cutting their grass today, and she's been weed eating. And
okay,
do what? Do what, babe? Oh, give me my pants and shoes. I gotta go, Paul. See you later.
What did this guy say? Give me my pants and shoes. You think he was at? I think I know what he was up to, and it was no good. We'll take a short break and make sure the police aren't heading in this direction. Right back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Continuing your phone calls. Jack is in Mississippi. Hello, Jack.
Like goddamn, they done beat goddamn Ohio State or some of the motherfucking teams that I don't like. Ole Miss ain't good.
Jack is up next. Jack, hello, Jack.
What's going on there, Mr. Feinbaum?
Jack, we're doing just well, just swimmingly. Thanks for calling.
Well, man, I appreciate that. I'm a first-time caller. I'm going to give you a little history.
Please.
My granddaddy attended Mississippi State.
Yes, sir.
My aunt was a tenured professor at LSU. My brother attended Ole Miss. He didn't have enough sense to graduate. And my sister, she went to the University of Alabama and was the editor of the alumni magazine over there for about 10 or 12 years.
No kidding.
What I want to talk about is Alabama fans, and I like Alabama because my sister went to school there, don't get too excited about beating Ole Miss. Ole Miss ain't worth a damn. I mean, look who's coming this weekend. LSU. You think Ole Miss going to beat LSU, Paul?
At the moment, no, but I could change my mind. I guess you don't think it's going to be close, do you?
Well, all I know is my buddy that went to Mississippi State, he told me, you want to make some money this weekend, book Alabama -7 versus Ole Miss. You can make however much you want to make. And I made me $1,000. Boom! Just like that.
That's good. That's good bread.
But, Paul, my problem is I'm a Mississippi State fan. And Zach Abernathy ain't going to cut it. Mississippi State has the worst luck of any school I've ever seen. We hire a coach, Coach Leach, rest in peace. And gosh damn, what happened? He has a heart attack and died. So we hire Zach Arnett. And Paul, he hires an offensive coordinator that wants to run the ball. I'm not a Will Rogers fan, but he can throw the ball. So why do you hire somebody that wants to run it when the only thing your quarterback can do is throw it?
That comes under the category of making no sense whatsoever.
I'm making no sense.
No, I said that does not make any sense when you have a quarterback like Will Rogers. You have to let him air the ball out. Well, hey, thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. Let's continue with more phone calls here. And Joe is in Red Bay, Alabama. Hello, handsome.
Roll Tide, roll, Paul Feinbaum. And you know what? Hey, this weekend was the most perfect weekend, Paul. Alabama won, and Auburn got TRUCKED. The Aggies trucked them, Paul. They trucked
sure
them. But not a little bitty Ranger truck, too. It's one of them big old semi trucks. I mean, they run them all the way back to Auburn, Paul. And I can tell AJ this right here. When he gets off the phone with you, he always hollers this, "War damn eagles." It's war damn hummingbirds, AJ. It's hummingbirds. It ain't no eagles. Auburn ain't worth eagle, Paul. And you know what? I want to talk about this Alabama team. And what that caller just called a minute ago, Jack, he's not wrong there. Ole Miss has not been, you know, you don't go to the national championship game or SEC championship game just by beating Ole Miss, especially this year's Ole Miss team. Because they haven't looked good all year. I mean, we haven't either, really. I mean, so just beating Ole Miss, you know, you can't just say, well, boom, we're in the SEC title game. because it ain't going to happen. We've been playing sorry. I mean, real bad first half ball game. Second half's been good, at least the last couple of weeks. You know, we've done, you know, second half teams, but we don't have the quarterbacks like we had where we used to run the scoreboard up, you know, first quarter. And we just can't do that now. And some of these close games, you know, you're going to have to eventually, you know, mold and build and grow. And you're going to have to start scoring in the first half, Paul. You can't just go through a whole season, you know, just scoring in the second half. I mean, that ain't how it works, Paul. But, hey, my dad turned 89 years old this past Saturday.
89? That's amazing. Where does he live, Joe?
Right here, Red Bay, Alabama.
Oh, he lives near you. That's fantastic.
Yeah, he's about, I don't know, as the crow flies, about a mile away. Red Bay ain't a big place anyway, you know that. But
what's your dad's name?
Sidney.
Sidney?
Yep, Sidney.
Well, happy birthday, Sidney. Sidney. Like, 80, did he say 89?
89. Yep, he's a ex-Marine. And, wow. You know, he raised all me and my brother and sister. He's, you know, you can't beat him as a dad. He's been great to all of us. And, you know, he taught us hard work. You know, when we were growing up in the summertime, you know, some kids was going on vacation. We were working the garden, you know. But they taught us hard work. You know, you don't get nothing unless you work for it. And I wouldn't take nothing for that, Paul, because some of these people that just, they don't even want to get up and make the bed no more. And it's just, you know. He started 89. I'm proud of that. My mom's in. She's 82 and 83 now. So, you know, I'm blessed to still. I'm blessed to still have both of them. So.
Well, that's remarkable. Well, I'm so glad to hear that. What is it?
Well,
has he ever heard you on this show?
I'll be honest. I don't think they've ever watched. They know I call in, but they usually watch Gunsmoke. You know, they watch Old West.
You know what? I don't mind being. I mean, Gunsmoke's one of the greatest shows of all time.
It is, but no, I don't think they've ever.
I've always wondered.
I don't
about
think
this.
They've ever.
Did you watch Gunsmoke growing up, Joe?
I did. Yep. Used to be on Monday night.
What was the deal with Miss Kitty and Marshall Dillon?
I don't know, Paul. I think they was.
He spent a lot of time hanging around that bar for a lawman.
Well, we don't know. It's like that song when we get behind closed doors, you know. Say we don't say goes on behind the closed doors.
You don't remember this, but we used to play that song every day on the. I'm not talking about the old Feinbaum show, like the prehistoric Feinbaum show. And there was some public figure who was allegedly involved with somebody else. So we'd play that song in honor of her every day, and it was one of the funniest segments we ever had, at least in the initial. Dinosaur days of this show.
You can't beat Miss Kitty. You can't. She was.
Who else was on that show? You had Miss Kitty, you had Marshall. Festus.
And Dawson. Festus. Newly. Yeah. Festus.
Deputy. Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, it's still good. You know, some of the shows were serious and some was, you know, comical. Like Festus when he started the newspaper. You know, he got the town people mad at each other.
I mean, I don't remember much about the show, but I mean, it's not the kind of show that I kept watching like some other shows of that era. But it was on every Monday night.
Yep, Monday night. Sure was. Right, and I think it was right before or either after Little House on the Prairie.
20 years on network television.
Hey, and still on TV. That show's longevity, just like the Andy Griffith Show, longevity. Good family show.
I do remember the end of it. So, Joe, you give Sidney our best, and we go from Joe to a guy that could have been on Gunsmoke, Larry from Shelby.
What's going on, Paul Feinbaum?
Larry.
Hey, I loved it, man. I told you. Incoming, baby. I told you. I mean, I told you way back, I was watching this recruit, and these boys going to be back next year, son.
You're right, yeah.
I'm telling
you. We're all hanging our heads down for not paying more attention to your expertise.
You got that right. And Joe, get them two hairs cut off your head. And I can see them on the TV on that. Hey, check it out. Paul Feinbaum, I'm going to tell you something. This lawyer stuff, I know. How many lawyers you think I run across?
Quite a few.
Tons of them. And there's two codes you got to have. That's 32A and 13A. If you don't know either one of them, you ain't no damn lawyer. And that's why most of them lawyers get away with dirty, funky stuff. You don't never see them in court. All you see is poor ass people in a little small town. That's all you ever see is poor people. You don't see them high rollers. I pulled one over one time. He was a smart ass. Had that Mercedes and a suit on. And he told me, he said, I'll have that ticket took care of before you get back to City Hall. And I said, well, you may do that. But he said, I'll have your job. I said, no, you wouldn't have his job. He said, I'm the one that paid your salary. I said, are you the cheap ass I've been looking for? So I wrote him a ticket and stuffed it in his jacket. But that's why I can't stand high rollers like that. They're just so much better than people. It's like football. These teams that think they're so much better now than Alabama.
If you had to describe disgusting professions, it would be it would be those high rollers.
Yeah, that's you. You're a high roller.
No, I'm just a. What am I?
Randy's a high roller now. He's a producer.
Man.
That's high rolling.
Larry, I don't know about you. I punch that clock every day.
Yeah, right. Paul, I've seen you strutting around with the big dogs. Don't go on with me with that mess. I mean, you and Augie perfect
Larry,
together.
Larry, I told you that time. Don't talk about this in public, okay? I thought that was just between us.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
Larry,
but I'll tell
you
one thing.
Never
I want
seen
my $300. I come down to $300
I'd like to know, Larry, what high roller you've ever seen me with?
Well, I guess you got a point. Yeah. You have got a little bit of redneck in your ass. I'll say that. Anybody will crawl ass in a coffin and almost kiss a crocodile and kiss a bulldog, and I guess you ain't a high roller. You're a crazy man. That's what
true.
You are.
I'll buy that description.
All right. Roll Tide, Paul. I love you, brother.
We are coming back. Final 30 minutes on a Monday afternoon. Straight ahead.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back, and Bob is in Pennsylvania. Hello, Bob.
Hi, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I'm calling about the I'm an Alabama fan up here in northeastern Pennsylvania. I spoke to you a couple of years ago about my Paul Bear Bryant picture and story.
I don't know
if you remember that.
I do remember that story.
But, anyway, I've watched Alabama football for many, many years. And this year, those first two games, I thought there was a team that was lost in space. They just didn't seem like they were in sync. Now, this last game against Mississippi, they finally sort of turned it on in the second half. But actually, even in the first half. And what I don't understand is game preparation. You got five boys up front there that are over 350 some pounds. They're massive men, and when they start, they're not going to be great pass blockers. They're going to be run blockers. And I got to see once they started running the ball, you started to see sort of like the worm has turned. And I think this is what they're going to have to do this year. They're going to have to pound the ball and throw the ball occasionally. And Milroe's is not the greatest quarterback we've seen at Alabama, but he's I think the best for this year because he can run. I think the freshman quarterback that's sort of like on third on the list, he's your future quarterback. I think he's more quarterback-ish.
He's number two right now, by the way, Bob. He is.
He's more quarterback-ish.
Has moved down. Hey, thank you so much for the. You know, remember all the trash talking last week about how great Auburn was. AJ,
hey, Paul, I'm gonna give you one word to explain to describe Auburn's showing their College Station this weekend. It was agonizing. Is all I can tell you. Pure agonizing. I mean, I have to get my hats off to Expired and his Aggies. You know. They came to play football. Auburn, it was ridiculous. That the mental preparation of the team all together was terrible. I mean, it really was. And it's nothing to be proud about, but especially coming up, Georgia coming up this weekend at home. But I'll tell you, you know, Paul, I apologize to everybody in America on behalf of the Auburn football family, we did not mean to look like Alabama playing Texas. War damn eagle. And let me tell you something, legend. Just because you had one little ride, you already knew you was going to win something, legend, against Lane Kiffin. He's 0-5. I mean, come on, man. That's like you saying, I'm 3-0. I'm 3-0 over there. Yeah, you've been 3-0 once in your life. That's about it. But let me tell you something, legend. You talking about would the real Auburn Tigers please stand up? I tell you what, when it comes Iron Bowl, we're going to stand down all over your ass.
John is up next in Ohio. Hello, John.
Hey, Paul, thanks for having me. Hey, you should have told old legend, because I know you know your history. What's Alabama's record against Notre Dame all time? Lou Holtz, he beat Bama once, but I think they're, what, 2-5?
Yeah.
Well, what's the Buckeyes' record against Notre Dame all time? 5-2?
They beat Notre Dame in, I believe, 86, and then Holtz beat them 87 or 88, whatever. Alabama has beaten Notre Dame the last two times they played, though. So that mark is Alabama has 4 wins against Notre Dame.
I know, but I don't think Legend, he don't – listen, if they was in the Big Ten, East right now, there's 4 teams that could beat Alabama. Penn State, Buckeyes, Michigan, and Maryland would beat them.
John, please.
Come on. Paul, come on.
I think the other three would –
2 weeks ago, you guys was playing who?
On circumstances, but I think I don't think Alabama would win it at Michigan or Ohio State.
I think Alabama loses 3 games. They'll lose 3 more SEC games.
Which, are you serious? Three more? I mean, they play LSU,
A&M.
Auburn will get them.
Texas A&M will get them.
John, listen.
And either Kentucky or LSU will get them.
I think the dangerous games in order would be at A&M, LSU, and then take your pick on what the next one would be. We don't know yet, because some of those teams are somewhat in a mystery. Kentucky could be very good. Arkansas could be sneaky. I don't think Auburn looks like they could handle Alabama at the moment. Let's check in with Clint, who is up next in Alabama. Hello, Clint. Clint, are you there?
No. Yes, sir, I am.
Well, good. Glad you're on the air.
Well, I would just like to say that if anybody was going to replace Nick Saban, I would want it to be Dan Lanning from Oregon.
Well, I mean, Clint, he would right now. He's a hot coach. He was an assistant. He was a graduate assistant under Nick Saban in 2015. Then he went to Georgia with Kirby Smart, and he, to me, is one of the hottest coaches in the country right now. We'll take a short break. We have a few minutes to go. We hope you'll give us a ring. We're back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.